Definitely nice to be back. Man, it's something when you have a test that comes right to your house, and then it's time for you to find out, are you going to walk with God, and are you going to trust God with the things that you challenged other people to believe God for? But amen, when that time came, praise God for the family that gathered around and encouraged me as we walked through this, and praise God, thank God for Pastor's patience. He didn't say, all right, now that you're back, get up there. No, Sister Lou didn't encourage me. When you gonna get up and teach again? I was like, I'm coming. Just give me some time. Give me some time. Amen. So, amen. It's good to be back in the house. He cleared out my clock. man, amen. Let's pray for a little bit, and then we'll get into it. Father, hallelujah. We do praise you and honor you, God. You are so kind to us, Father. You are a good father who gives good gifts to his kids, sir. And we honor you and thank you. We thank you because you've met all our needs. Father, you've placed us in position to prosper in everything we do. And you have opened up the treasures of heaven to make your glory known to us. We love you, Father, because you first loved us. You have called us out of darkness and placed us in the light of your glorious Son. And we thank you and open up our heart to you. Father, we say right now in this time, make your glory known. Father, come down, spend this time with us that we may draw closer to you and be what you've called us to be so that we can do what you have called us to do. Hallelujah, Lord. In your name we glory and we praise you, Father. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. All right. Tonight we're going to dip back into the Old Testament for a little bit. I definitely don't want to call us away from where Pastor has challenged us. He said we are New Testament people and we need to learn what Jesus said that we can have, which is found in the New Testament, the promises of God, the new dispensation of God, the revelation of Jesus, definitely in the New Testament. We want to learn that. But I want to go dip into the Old Testament to bring out some points that we can use in our New Testament living. The Bible says, God says, I am the Lord and I change not. So anytime I go into the Old Testament, what I want to do is observe how God treats people, God interacts with people. Because since he changes not, if he does something back then I know he's going to do that now. Amen. God penalized and judged sin then, and he penalizes and judges sin now. Then he judged the people, or you could go get a lamb or something, and the sin was assuaged for a moment. Now our sin is judged in Jesus. Amen. So God still judges sin. It's just the way that he deals with it is different. But he's still the same God. He's righteous and he is holy. So all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Judges. We're going to look at Gideon to draw some things out that may better increase our effectiveness as believers. All right. What I want to do is call this the value of God's call, learning the value of God's call. All right. Let me get some context. What we're going to do is look at Gideon. And in that particular time, Israel would go through a period. As you go through and you study the Old Testament or you read the Old Testament, you'll see after God, from the point of God delivering Israel from Egypt, they turned away from God and did their own thing. And God would judge them. They'd call out to God. And then God would deliver them and say, all right, now remember that and walk with me. And then they would go away from God. God would judge them or give them into the hands of the enemies. They would call out to God. And God would say, okay, remember that and walk with me. And so in this particular time, they went through the period where God delivered them. They went back away from God, and God is going to deal with them through Gideon. And at this time, God has given them into the hands of the Midianites. And what the Midianites were doing, the Midianites were taking the Amalekites and the Arabians, or in your word, it may say men of the east. They were gathering them, and they would go and they would torment Israel. And Israel was so afraid that they went at that time and started hiding in mountains and caves to get away from this torment as they were being dominated by this group. And so what the Midianites did is, all right, what we're going to do is during the time of harvest, when it's time for them to go and get their food, we're going to go up and we're going to destroy their crops. We're going to ruin their harvest and continued to persecute them. And then at that time, then Israel cries out, because if they're ruining their crops, if they're destroying their food, then that what they're going to do to them economically is put them in a time of hardship, because now they're having to deal with famine. There's not enough food to go around. You understand what I'm saying? So they're coming on a hardship. What are we going to do? And they cry out to God. So turn with me to Judges 6. All right. This is probably in your Bible in the white pages. We don't read this area a lot, so the pages are still white because our fingers have not stained them. All right, so if you need to, go ahead, look at the table of contents, find Judges chapter 6, and we're going to jump down to verse 11, and God sends out the angel of the Lord. All right? All right, everybody, turning. We are there. I'm going to read. All right, here we go. Verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me." All right, now I'll end with 16, though. But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." All right, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at when Israel in crisis and draw some points out of that. We're going to look at Gideon saying, "Hey, I am the youngest and I'm in a weak family." And then God calling Gideon a valiant warrior. We're going to look at that point because that's what the angel spoke to him. Actually combine those two things. And then we're going to look at God sending Gideon in his own strength, because he says, "Go in your own strength." And then we're going to end with God's promise to Gideon that he's going to be with him. And we're going to draw four things out of that. So the first thing we're going to look at is Israel in crisis. What's the crisis? The crisis is these people are destroying our crops. They're trying to wipe us out. What are we going to do? And thankfully, they got to the point of we needed to cry out to God. And what I want to look at is how did God deal with them when they were in crisis? Because more than likely, that's how God deals with us, and that's how God deals with others. And in that time, what God did is he sent Israel a savior, or he called out a deliverer for Israel. Amen? Amen. When we were in crisis, the Lord looked and said, "Is there none that can save them?" The Lord saved them with his own right arm. When we were without God, when we were without salvation, the Lord sent a savior to deliver us. I bring out this point because you may very well be the salvation from someone else's crisis. All right. Sometimes when we get up and we've fallen into the routine, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we sleep. We get up, we go to work, we come home, and we sleep. But I would present to you that others around you themselves are going through crisis. If they are not in God, then they are indeed not saved. And if they are not saved, then they are in need of saving. And God is not coming down to save anyone anymore. We know that he sits in the heavens. Jesus has sat at his side. So the person that God is going to use to save people is you. Unless you exclude yourself from the activity of saving. But I'll go back to something that people usually say all the time. If God didn't want you to do anything, that at the point of your salvation, he would call you on to heaven. What I want to do is bring that out, is to kind of wake you, to shake you, to say, I could be doing something more. Ephesians chapter 5, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He says, stop going about sleepwalking like you don't know what's going on. Become alive, become awake so that you can be affected by the things that are around you, because God wants to use you to reach into someone's circumstance and bring them up to Him. If God is going to introduce Himself to somebody, He's going to do it through you. The Bible says, as Christ is, so are you in the world. So if anyone is in crisis around you, and if they are not saved, then they will be. Jesus said, I wish that you would say that you are blind, because then I could come in and I could heal you. Amen. So the people around you are in some state of flux and crisis, and you may very well be the salvation that they need. Open up yourself to God so that He can use you in that manner. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. Let me turn there real quick, give you something to chew on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If people are around us and they are not in God, then they are blinded. You know the truth, but the truth that they see is in you. If someone is around you and they're not experiencing love, the love they can experience is in you. If someone is around you and they have not seen the light that they need to experience is in you. Amen. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, and it remains. If someone is in a state of turmoil, the peace that they need is within you. And God places you in circumstances so that people can get what they need. They might not know why it is they are drawn to you or what it is they are getting from you. But what they need is in you, and they will draw from it. Remember the story that Brian told about the guy that was in his room that he's waiting on? When Brian got there, he said, hey, dude, what you got going on here is what I need. Amen. I remember we dealt with a kid at camp, and he was raucous and, I mean, trying to get into fights and stuff. And it got to a point where we had to restrain him. And while they were restraining him, he called out to them. He said, man, I need what you guys have. Acknowledged it, which you wouldn't think because he was trying to beat people up at the time. So he didn't know what he needed, but he knew the people that were around him had what he needed. Remember, if you're in a job, say, man, this is a dead end job. Why am I here? Stop and listen for a minute. God may have you in that place so that you can be a light. Now, He may move you on, but He wants you to accomplish the mission. You see what I'm getting at? There may be more to where you are and what you're doing than just you being there. Okay? There may be more to where you are and what you're doing than just you being there. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. Amen. You belong to God. Your mouth belongs to God. Your eyes belong to God. Your hands belong to God. Let God use them so that you can make impact in this world. All right. You may be the salvation in someone else's crisis. All right. Now let me go on to point number two. God does not call us because of our strength, but He calls us because of His. All right. When the angel came to Gideon, he said, Gideon, you are a valiant warrior. Now, you could tell Gideon did not understand the salutation. First of all, he was not being valiant, because the text says Gideon was in the wine press doing the harvest. Now, the reason why he's in the wine press is because he's hiding. You don't harvest wheat in the wine press, right? But they didn't want the Midianites to find him, so he's hiding. And the angel comes to him and says, what are you hiding, you coward? He says, no, you're a valiant warrior. Why? When God comes to him, he doesn't speak regarding his circumstances. He spoke regarding the call of God. You're valiant. Yeah. You're powerful. Now, as we draw from this, we know what God is, a God to cause those things that be not as though they are. So we know when we come into circumstances, we want to speak what God has said, not what we are seeing. All right? Speak what God has said, not what we are seeing. We know he didn't understand this, because he says to God, look, my family is the least. If anybody's going to say these people, this ain't coming from this family. I grew up in San Antonio. I am not from Dallas. He says, and I'm the youngest. So you definitely have the wrong person. When I bring that up, when we tend to look at the purposes of God, we understand what Pastor Jim is doing. Pastor Jim has incredible knowledge and incredible wisdom, and he's raised up a church. We understand what Richard is doing because Richard has the skill to tinkle the ivories and do something with that. But we tend to look at ourselves and say, what's the point? Right? I've only been at this job a couple of years. Nobody knows me. I don't need to get involved because there's no impact that I can have. I don't have the skills that Richard has. I don't have the voice that Damon has to sing. There's nothing that I can do. And what you're doing is you're shutting yourself off for God coming to you saying, valiant warrior.
Come on.
The angel's ready. The angel's like, all right, it's time. But all the angel's looking at is he's called. He's called. Now, Gideon's value came from God's call on his life. It didn't come from him. God wasn't going through the families in Israel looking for someone valiant. Gideon became available, but it was God's call that made him valiant. God's not looking at you and saying, all right, I know I can use Brian because Brian has this, 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 and this. But no, God calls Brian to come forth and speak his word, and it's God that makes him worthy. Does that make sense? Do not look at your inadequacies. Think there's nothing that God can do with me in this place. I'm too new. I don't make a difference. This is too grand. I'm not the employer. I'm the employee. No, you're cutting yourself off from God's strength. If God has called you, and he has, then God can do things through you. Turn with me to Romans 8, 29 to 30. Romans 8, 29 to 30. Look at this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, those so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. All those are past tense. I'm going to put some people in here who are going to be glorified. They got to be justified. You got to be made holy. You have to be sanctified and set apart. Well, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to sanctify and set apart those people whom I've called. They got to be called into the salvation that I need for them. They are predestined, predetermined for a certain point and a certain thing. Look at Mary as an example. The angel comes to Mary. Then you say, you are highly favored. See, I don't think Mary was highly favored. God was looking for this favored person. I think because God chose her, that made her the highly favored.
Amen.
Amen. You see what I'm saying? You're chosen. You're a chosen group of people. You're set apart. Not because of the giftings and talents that are in you that you have or don't have, but because God chose to call you out and save you. So you are special. You are unique. You have something to offer, but your strength comes not from yourself, because you can look at yourself and say, well, I've messed up too bad. All that's discounted by the Lord. You are highly favored. You are a man or a woman of valor that God wants to use to deliver a people. Do you see what I'm saying? God does not call us because of our abilities. God calls us because of his strength. Doesn't call us because of our abilities or our giftings or our wealth or our possessions. He calls us because of his strength. Yes. My strength will overpower your weakness. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:9. 1:9, let's look at something Paul encourages Timothy with. Timothy, a young guy given to pastor, and Paul wants to remind him. 1:9. Who has saved us? God has said, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Paul said, Timothy, he didn't call us because of our gifts. It was according to his own purpose. God purposed to bring you up and to move you forward. His own foreimage, his own forethought. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, did you call me because I can do this? No, I called you because of what I can do in you. I called you because of what I can do in you. I just need for you to be available. God says, go, you go. God says, speak, you speak. God says, do, and you do. And then you move on. He didn't call us because of our abilities or our gifts. He called us because of his strength. But I might mess it up. I'm not worried about that. My strength is greater than your weakness. Amen. My strength is greater than your weakness. My ability far exceeds your inabilities. This is kind of the covenant exchange, if you will. And God comes on the scene in an old time when you had people that did covenant. They would cut themselves and drip blood in the cup, and they would drink it and represent it. All right, we become one. I am you and you are me. And they take the cloak and they put the cloak on. It's all right. The things that I have are the things that you have. And the things that you have are the things that I have. And they would exchange weapons. It's all right. My strength is your strength. And your strength is my strength. Somebody attacks you, they attack me. And if somebody attacks me, they attack you. And we entered into that exchange and that covenant with our Lord, except he exchanged our weaknesses for his strength. Ooh, that's good. And so I'm going to take your weakness and give you all of my strength. And he said, our sicknesses and our diseases he bore on himself. So I'm going to take your sicknesses and diseases and I'm going to give you health. I'm going to give you life. He took our condemnation of death and he gave us life. Yes, sir. God calls you not because of what we could do, but because of what he will do in us. You are called. It's the calling that makes us effective. We just need to be available. Amen. Point number three. Now let's go on. Now as God is, the angel is speaking to him, and he's calling him, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon brings out things. Hey, man, where's the God with all the miracles? That's what we need now. I know you must have made a mistake. I'm the youngest. I'm in a weak family. And watch, God tells him, verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength. Now, I already told you, God didn't call us because of the things that we can do. He doesn't care about that. He knows what he can do in us. He wants us to go. But he does tell him, look, I want you to go in your strength. Now, practicality, God's telling him this because he's not going to let Gideon use all the people he's going to gather. If you remember the story, I think Richard might have went over this a little bit. Gideon goes out. He gets God to do a couple of signs. All right, I believe. I'm going to go. And then he goes out. He gives the call. We're going to war. Come on down. And he gathers up a large group. And then he goes to God and says, God, see what I did? We're ready. Let's go get these people. And God said, wait. You got too many people. Now, at this point, I'd be perplexed because the army's already encamped outside and they had a large group. I know we don't got anywhere close to that. And God tells him, no, you can't go yet. You got too many people. I need to pare you down. And God whittles him down from what he had to 300 people. 300. God, this is not even going to handle the advertising, let alone go to war. God says, lest Israel think that they delivered themselves in their own strength. I'm going to get the glory in this battle. Now, he tells Gideon, I want you to go in your own strength. I want you to do what you can do. Let me say this. You do not need to go off to seminary to be effective for God. Now, if God tells you to go to seminary, you need to go. Grab whatever you can grab to them and put that in your toolbox and you go be effective. But that's not what you need to be effective. What you need is the call and then to obey the call. Amen. That means I don't need to be Pastor Jim to go do what God may lead me to do. I need to learn from him and draw from him. But then I need to do what God has called me to do. Amen. Romans 12:6, go in your own strength, because I want to make sure people are released to go out and do the things that God has taught them to do. Now, usually people, when we deal with the giftings of God, we deal with the power gifts, the revelatory gifts, things of that nature. But I want to look at these gifts in Romans chapter 12. Okay, Romans chapter 12. I've used this before. I like to come back to it. Says I read 5. So we are many. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and the individual members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, it says we do have gifts, and those gifts are probably different according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. And he who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. I like this, because what he does is he gets away from the power, and then he gets out to look. Whatever it is that's your bent, the thing that you actually have a knack for, give yourself to that. So usually we get in God, and then we want to get used by God. And so but we see pastor being used by God. So in order for me to be used to God, I need to be pastor. No, in order for you to be used to God, you need to be you. You need to be the expression of God in you. You're a different instrument. We're all in the same orchestra, but each of us have a different sound. You can't say, because I'm not the trumpet, I don't belong in the orchestra. You may be a drum. You need to beat the drum. You may be a cymbal. You need to clang the cymbal. Each of us is an individual instrument that has something to add to the entire ensemble, you know. But he says here, whatever it is that is your bent, just give yourself to that. Give yourself to that so God can use that. If my thing is baking cookies, then I can bake cookies. I can bake a cookie, and God said, look, I want you to bake some cookies and give it to this person. God, I don't really know that person. I just want you to give that to them. Go bless them. And you bake the cookies and you give it to them, and you leave because that's all you know. But you don't know how those cookies have touched that person. They may be overwhelmed with the fact that somebody did something for them, not attached to money, not attached to anything. And man, by the way, those cookies are good. Now, if you're not good at baking, don't make nobody no cookies. You may confuse them. Why has this person afflicted me with these cookies? No. Whatever it is. I knew a guy, his friend, and he was awesome at giving to people. He would give people rides to work and rides here, or he would share his possessions. And he was like, man, I don't really know what my effectiveness is for God. I was like, man, you're a giver. You're a giver. And that has a lot of value in the body of Christ. Man, I remember coming up here to a church. I think we were doing a luncheon in the old building, and I had just made it up there. I mean, I had no gas at all. But I wanted to be part of the family. We got together, and I walked in. We hadn't eaten. As I was walking out, Pastor Jim came by me and said, brother, you're blessed, and handed me some money and kept moving. You know how he does. Didn't know what he did. Man, I had gas to get home. I thought I was going to be hitching the rides. Well, I was blessed, and I was touched, and I learned, man, it has value to be a giver in the body of God. You can bless somebody. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to have the great revelation, but you can show kindness to somebody. You have some technical skills. You can do that for people. I mean, there are a myriad of ways where you can be a blessing to others. And while you're being a blessing, God is moving through that to touch people. There's the one young lady that we actually knew as a group, as a university tech. I mean, the girl was, she's very verbose. This girl ever saw you and stopped you to talk to you, you lost 30 minutes automatically. Gone. it's like a time warp. And I remember I knew this girl before she was saved and after she got saved. And in fact, right before I got saved, and whatever, I had the nice jacket, purple jacket. And I gave the jacket to her so that she could wear it, you know, because I wanted to get next to her. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to give it to her, and I'm going to go to her room later and get the jacket. You might stay a little while, you know. So, and sometimes I got saved before I got my jacket back. So I remember I got my jacket, and I was like, well, I didn't get the jacket. She still had the jacket, and I need to get it. And I was like, Now, I can't go get that jacket. I was saved, you understand, but God was still working on me. You know, like, yeah, I better not go get that jacket because I'm not sure what situation I might get in. And I remember I was walking to Jester, probably to hook up with Ken and Damon and them. I don't know if Damon had already moved on, but I remember I was going to meet them. And I was right at PCL, the PCL library. And Trent said, John. I was like, who is that? You know, and I turned around and it was her. I was like, oh man, I'm in public, so I'm good. And she said, John, I prayed to God that I could meet you. And here you are. I was like, oh, here I am. And she said, you know, man, I just wanted to tell you, you have been an example and a light. And I was like, what? And she said, she said, very verbose. I'm already lost 30 minutes right here. I'm gone. I want you to know that I wasn't a real big believer in this God thing, because I knew a lot of people that were in Inner Visions group. And she said, man, we're trying to talk to me about God. And I was like, man, how does your God affect you different from me? I'm sleeping with my boyfriend and you sleeping with your boyfriend. Ain't no difference between us. And she would get people with her arguments. She just trip them up, you know. You ain't doing nothing different. And she said every time she did that, God reminded her, yeah, but there is somebody who's different. And he would point to me. I had no idea this girl was even in her area code. You know what I'm saying? She's a popular girl. She was doing whatever. But she said God would remind her, that young man right there is living for me, and he's different. And it stuck in her. And it put her in a point where somebody else was able to minister salvation to her. Because I couldn't fully dismiss God as being a lie, because God would point to you. And I want to say thank you. You don't know who's watching you or why they're watching you or what you're doing for them is doing to them. But you need to remain available and active. Share with people the wisdom that you have. Do the things that you know how to do for other people as God leads you. God is using you to enter into other people's worlds so that they can know him. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Wherever it is that God has given you, use it. Now, God can bring other, like I said, tools to your toolbox. Doesn't mean, like I said, that you can't go to seminary. He may call you to be there. You know? David, when he was going to deliver Israel, Saul tried to put his arm on him. David said, hey, I don't know that. I can't use that. Let me just use his sling and his rock. However, how do you know later on David used the armor? He didn't stay with the sling. He did eventually gather an armor. So other tools can be added to you that you can use, but it's not necessary for you to have those things to do something for God. Okay? You're available. You're there. Be his witness. Be his light where you are. Amen? Go in your own strength. Now, last point. I want to pull out Judges. God encourages him at the end. Go back to Judges 6, if I can find it. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength. Verse 14, deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? God said, that's all. I sent you. That's it. It's the only reason you need to go. That's the only thing you need to be concerned with. Have I not sent you? 15, he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? My family is the least. I'm the youngest. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. Our effectiveness as believers comes through our union with God. And our union with God is realized through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. All right? Our effectiveness comes from our union with God. What makes us different? God's Spirit is with us. John 14:16. Let me read some of these before I make my points here. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. John 15:26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. God's Spirit is with us. The Bible says we are sealed with God's Spirit as the first fruit. He's with us everywhere we go, which means everywhere we are, God's presence is with us. Notice the different dispensation that we moved in. John, God told John, the way that you're going to recognize the Messiah, the way that you're going to recognize the Christ, is the Spirit is going to land on him and remain. Marked an entirely different movement for God. Why? Because from up to that point, God's Spirit would land on someone and then would leave. His Spirit would come on somebody and they would prophesy. His Spirit would come on somebody and they would show great feats of strength. His Spirit would come on somebody and they would see things. But His Spirit always left. John said, I'm going to know that the Messiah is here because His Spirit is going to come on him and he's going to remain. It's not going to be any more coming and going. The Spirit is going to remain. The Bible says, as Christ is, so are you in the world. You mark a different dispensation because from the time you were saved, the Spirit came on you and remained. Jesus said, hey, if I don't go away, I can't send him to you. But if I go, I'm going to send him and he is going to be with you. He indwells you. He feels you, and he takes from Christ and gives to you. Jesus said, I say that because everything that the Father has is mine, and he's given it to me. And he takes from the Lord wisdom, and he gives you wisdom. He takes from the Lord feats of strength, and he gives you feats of strength. He takes from the Lord creative ideas, and he deposits those things in you. Wherever you go, God is with you. And wherever you are, then his presence is there. That's what makes us different. The Bible says the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, we're studying the Word, we're receiving the Word is being deposited within us, but what makes us different from all the other people that are going to church is God's Spirit is in us. He gives breath and explanation to the Word of God. It's life that's living. It's the Word come to life in us. It's what makes us effective. Not just knowing the Bible. It's what religion is the study of God. That's why man could never know God. Because they cannot grasp him from this dimension. As Jesus revealed to Peter, and if you're going to get to know me, it's going to have to be revealed. Yes. And you're in the position for God to reveal himself to you. And because he's revealed himself to you, you get to make him known to others. You can't bottle that up. Well, I can't be used. I don't have enough. You have his strength. You have the bounty of heaven before you. I just don't feel right. He is sealed with you, has not left you. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give it to him. Whatever situation that you're in, God's there in that situation, may very well have placed you in that situation because he wants to show up and show himself to be God. Oh God, why me? Why me? Why me? No. And say, oh God, praise you for you get the opportunity to show yourself strong on my behalf. When I am weak, it's then that I'm strong because it is his strength that is made perfect in my weakness. You're sealed with the Spirit. That's what makes you different. That's why you're going to be effective. Next point, we are Bible read, but we are Spirit led. All right? We're Bible read, but we're Spirit led. Turn John 3. I think Brian brought out this point and I grabbed onto it. John 3:8. Look at this. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. And then he ends with this, which confused me for a long time. He said, Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, right here, I would have hit Jesus. He's even, how can I go to heaven? And he ends with this theme, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What was he telling him? He said, man, the people of God are just like the wind. You don't see the wind. You don't know where the wind is coming from, and you don't know where the wind is going. You just know when you experience it. And that's the people of God. What we do, you cannot map out in a book. There is no formula for being a son of God. Now, I can look at Pastor Jim's testimony and draw faith, but each man's testimony is his own. I cannot try to do the things Pastor Jim does to reproduce the things that God did in Pastor Jim's life. Now, I can believe, and I can look at the example of Pastor Jim standing and say, all right, I can draw encouragement. If I stand, God's going to do something. But I can't say, well, Pastor Jim ate Bluebell because he believed. So I'm going to eat Bluebell. You end up in a diabetic coma. His faith is a product of his journey with God. Amen. He got it how he got it. But he believes. Your process is to walk with God and grow up in God, learning of God, and allow the Spirit to lead you where you to go. That's why we're like the wind. Next thing you know, the wind's over here. You know, oh, it's there. And then next thing you know, the wind's over here. You didn't see how it got there, but you know it's there. Our job is to be led of the Spirit, to be inspired to do the things of God. When I do something because the wind of God fills me. And I thought, man, I get that aha moment. I get that revelation. Like, oh, man, I really want to do this. And I'm inspired to do that because the Spirit is carrying you along in that direction. If my skill is baking cookies, and I'm looking for the moment when I get inspired to bake cookies for those people. I'm just going to bake cookies because then I'm just making people fat. But when I'm filled with the inspiration to bake cookies, now I'm about to have a God moment. I'm filled with the inspiration to decorate a home. Now I'm about to, there's about to be a God moment. I'm filled with the inspiration to give an encouraging word to this sister. And there's about to be a God moment. That's how we're carried along. Now, we study to show ourselves approved, but that makes us ready for the moment when God wants to use us. Now, Gideon's inspiration moment, the angel came to him and spoke to him, and this is what we're going to do. And then he said, well, give me a couple of signs. You know, and then he's, all right, let's go do it. And then it got there, and he's like, ah. God said, like, go down there and go. I want you to go at night, take somebody with you, and I want you to listen to what they're saying. And then he went down there and then he heard them. Dude, I had a dream, man. His wheat came down and crushed it. And dude said, hey, man, that's because Israel about to dominate us. And then he got inspired. All right. He went back to the people. We're about to do this thing. And they go destroy Midian. Our journey through life is being filled with his Spirit and allowing that expression to flow through us how it wants to. And he may flow through you to give a word. He may throw you, fill you, and you have a word of knowledge for somebody. And you know what? Excuse me, but can I tell you this? That may be. The point is not to try to pinpoint what it is because it's not a formula to it. It just is. Your job is to be ready to be inspired and filled. And that's why it says we're instruments. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You're a vessel that is to be ready to be filled so that you can be used. An instrument of God. Amen. So that we can go and touch people. His Spirit is with us. You're not limited in your impact in this world. We don't have a lot of people here tonight. We don't need a lot of people. God can use us, the people in this room, to impact this city. We just have to open up our heart and our mind and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Use me. And then the thing that he says, just do it. And God will call others to come alongside. Say, you know what? What you have, I need. I want to be used a lot. Usually I try to beg off and people say different things about different people coming to the church. You know, I was like, hey, John brought these people. Well, not really. Some of y'all jokers came in here when I was gone. I didn't know you. One of the things that I do remember, two different things in meeting Ken. Ken had an opportunity to meet me when I was doing something for God. And I was excited. I mean, I had just been introduced to Good Morning's Holy Spirit and going out, boy, and out preaching. I was like, yeah. And Ken actually heard me say something. And he came up to me and Damon and said, man, I need what y'all got. And I believe Ken's already a believer. He said, I need what y'all got. And I had no idea what to tell this dude. I'm going to come to Pastor Jim. Man, how do we do this? Well, you know, want what you got, you got to be around you. And so me and Damon told Ken, they look, you want what we got, you need to hang around us. And then we couldn't get rid of that brother. He was always around. Actually, Ken opened his door to people. So when I wanted to go hang out somewhere, I hung out with Ken. But Ken began to draw and feed on the Word and grew in his own right as a strong man of God. I mean, I remember me and Damon trying to do this thing, man. And what do we need to do to be godly? You know, he had his godly girlfriend. I wanted a godly girlfriend. And then I remember we met Brian. Now, I met Brian from Ken. Brian did not like me. So don't let him tell you he's here because of me. But I remember, Ken, people were drawn to Ken. Ken would open himself up to people, man, come hang out. And Ken, you know, say stuff to Brian. And one night we were witnessing at some outdoor party at the university. And Ken was talking to Brian. And Ken had to leave for some strange reason. So I was going to fill in. And I came in, Brian, what's wrong, brother? And he's like, man, I was like, brother, you need to be saved. And I came in dogmatic. I did not help his cause. He tried to stay away from John. But I learned, and later on, you know, I softened a bit. And I remember going up to Brian's room. I think we were going to play basketball together. And I walked in, checked out some of his music. I was like, oh, yeah, man, Poor Righteous Teacher, man. I like that group, man. That's a group to da-da-da-da-da. Brian looked at me, said, I don't know about this dude. All right, let's go play basketball, man. We hung out. I opened up to him in a different way. Now, I still think he keeps his distance, son. Nah, that brother, he got close. That was my best man at my wedding. But I learned to approach him different. But I got an opportunity to also impact him along with Ken, along with others, because I was available. Can't tell you many things that Damon impacted my life. Man, I got to hang out with Damon, go eat with Damon. I had no money. Damon would let me go eat with him and his girlfriend. I was like, man, thank you to be blessed with this godly couple, you know? But he got to deposit some things in me, and we grew together to go do some things to impact others. And Demetrius entered our group, and others entered our group. But they saw us loving one another. And interestingly enough, the scripture said they will know you by how you love one another. You guys are wired for impact. You just got to be open to it. Come on. You don't need other stuff. No. Now, we can bring the other stuff. That's extra. You just need to allow God to be his expression through you and then go touch somebody. What you know, share. Amen? Yes. What you know, share. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. She went and told everybody, come here, man, told me everything I ever did. That's all she knew. Hey, brother read me up and down. She evangelized that area, though. Said, we believe because you told us what he did, but now that we've heard him, we believe for ourselves. You could be that woman at the well, or you could be any number of people. But be that. God wants to use you to be the deliverer in someone else's crisis. And you're not called because of your strength, but because of his own strength. And as you understand that, then you get to go in your gifts and your talents and be that deliverer for God so God can reach others around you. Amen? Amen. You can stand with me. I call you the blessed of the Lord. You are filled with the Spirit of God and God's wisdom, fills your mind with creativity, with ideas, with inventions, that you may be an impact to those around you. The light and treasure, the gospel of God, resides in you and flows out of you to reach those around you. You are the light in this world. You are a city on a hill. You are the salt in this earth. And God empowers you to be all that He's called you to be. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. You're blessed. Go with God.